Hello, I'm Rob Lunton. Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with the festivities of Creamfields behind us, where are my two raving podcasters? Firstly, he's more accustomed to dancing on the ballroom floor than in a ploughed, muddy field. Yes, he's Mr. Strictly Statistics. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he's dropped more tabs than Boots the Chemist. Big it up for our very own legends. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Now, of course, tonight, boys, I mean, I think this is a first. We're coming from three different time zones. I'm in Sydney. It's just gone 6:35 a.m. in the morning. Sam's in Warrington, 7:35 p.m. at night. But, Dennis, can we have a time setting and a location from you, please?
Yes, I'm in the Black Forest in Germany in a little place called Titisee. So we'll be seeing if you want to have a look at some of that later.
Coming across loud and clear in your camper van?
Yes. Very I was going to say, I said that then. I was just waiting. I was thinking, have I dropped out now? Have I dropped out? But no, I'm still here. It's actually better than being in the southwest of England, this signal, isn't it?
Yes. Much.
Yeah.
And Sam, do I detect a little hint of glow in you there? I think you were sending pictures of palm trees last week. Was it the harbour in Parma you were coming from?
The harbour in Parma, exactly. Mixing with the millionaires on the boats, I was.
Did you see Simon's yacht? Was it anywhere to be seen?
No, he's moored round the corner, I think, at Calador.
Oh, very good. Mm. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, normally Dennis and I are very optimistic, and Sam's very pessimistic when it comes to the podcast. We've had a few complaints from listeners in the last few weeks, but I think we can run it off with a bit of realism and a bit of pessimism. What's the word I'm looking for?
I've no idea.
Upbeat, we can be upbeat this week. We've won a game. 77 days of hurt are over.
It's been that long. I've forgotten what the word was. Optimism, isn't it? That's what we're looking towards. Yes, excellent. All right, well, let's move on to the Leeds game. The team was Duffy, Thulis, Matautier and Ratchford continued in the centres. Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, McKayley back in the front row with Walker and Vaughan. Curry, Nicholson and Crowther at 13. Interchange bench was Harrison, Clark, Philbin. And surprisingly for most, Dudson kept his place in the team. Well, have Warrington given up? Not according to Kate and Peter. Here's the highlights.
And Tufty just peeling to that short side with Paul Vaughan. Tufty with the kick. Tufty maybe with the try. What a start. Smith. Walters! Steamroller line from the big human being. Matt Duffy fields it with Ashton on his shoulder, and Matt Duffy's through! A line break for Warrington. Across comes Hanley to cover, but Matty Ashton will gallop through to score. No sooner had Leeds drawn level, Warrington snatched the lead back again.
No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man.
O'Connor to Caesar. Oh, it goes for Situa. What a take, what a try.
But no one wants you when you.
Harrison out the back. Williams is opening up here for Ratchford. All too easy for Warrington. And they take the lead again. Walters, exploratory run, wild offload, Smith to Caesar, missed pass finds McDonald, Caesar peels round the short side, Caesar opens up the taps, back on the inside, and Luke Hooley, what a seesawing game!
I could be a fainted.
Smith, fired across field, McDonald, oh what a ball! What a try! James Bentley!
Toward my home, the place that I was born. Oh.
Warrington will feel they've really thrown it away here. Drinkwater puts one through for Nicholson. Suddenly this game isn't over yet.
On to the ground.
In Hail Mary territory here. Crowther, Williams, there is space on this left-hand side. Curry to Rashford, the ball through for Dufty, he can't gather it in. James Bentley will bat it then.
Don't give up, cause somewhere there's a place where we belong. Rest your head.
Final score, Leeds 24. Warrington 22. Straight away, Dennis has got a frown on his face because he's going, who the fuck are Kate and Peter? Because he's not listened to the highlights.
How did you know that? Yeah. I
just glanced as I was reading it, and there he was with his confused face, and I thought, oh, great. He's not read any
of this. I'm trying to remember the game. I've been on the road for 3 days. I've been to Luxembourg.
Jesus. Think there's room for growth in Luxembourg with rugby league?
Absolutely no fucking chance. I mean, right. Considering it's a basically 130,000 people live there and most of them are bankers, I don't really think they've got an interest in rugby league.
Fair enough. Where were we all? I didn't watch it at all. It was about, was it 10 quid or something to watch it on the app?
It was, yes.
You paid it, Sam? You watched the game live?
I paid it. I watched the game live. The stream was very good. Good Excellent. Quality. Didn't drop out. Mm. Got a complaint, though.
Oh.
I went back in to watch it again, and it says I had to pay for it again. That's a disgrace. I thought when you pay for it, it suggested I had it for 7 days.
That was it. Paid
Is
once,
that Rob trying to... that was Rob, wasn't it, trying to log in?
He was in Mallorca, and he sent me a little... He was in a very good mood. He'd had a bit of sangria. And he was feeling very upbeat, and he's like, here you go, have my password and code. So I went in and had a look, and nothing there. Couldn't watch it.
Anyway, you two, I was there. I was the man on the spot.
Oh, you've remembered, have you?
Yes, I've remembered now. And it was the most expensive ground to go to, £32 for a ticket.
Where was that? You want some kind of VIP seating area with...
No, that's just a general thing, that is. So, fortunately, our contacts pulled through and I managed to get in my Super League pass.
You didn't go to the press conference, though?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Whoa, never mind that. You got in for free. Yeah. You've been putting expenses in for all these visits.
Technically, I have got an invoice. Can you just write that out, Mrs. Weyland? Just write £32.
This is what it's come to now with Tackle Bags. He just walks into grounds blasé free now. He doesn't have to pay anymore.
Yes. The only problem is with the press conference is they had an electronic pass, like a swipe on the door.
Yeah.
And I was stood there for about 5 minutes with my press pass and it wouldn't open.
When I covered the Warrington Souths game for the Warrington Guardian, I had to go down to Souths earlier in the day and pick up an NRL pass, which I picked up, and then I didn't return it. And it let me into all the games at the NRL for a year free. It was great.
You didn't go to any, though, did you?
They rang me up and said, have you got that pass? And I genuinely just forgot to take it back in, and then I had it in my wallet at Brookvale, and I thought, I'll just try this in the turnstile. Boop, boop, straight in. Worked for 12 months. Like gold, that ticket was like Willy Wonka.
Anyway, okay. Come on, get on with the match.
Well, so I didn't watch it.
I've only before next week.
You've got fuck all doing. You've just told me you're on holiday for 3 weeks and you're only planning 48
hours in
advance.
I've got you to swear, though. That's all right. I've got you to swear. That's what my plan was.
Right. Well, I didn't watch it. I've seen the highlights, but the theme, the narrative that I took from Twitter and people that have sent me messages was it was a far more upbeat performance. Sam, they were back trying.
Oh, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, a much more upbeat, a much more aggressive, in a nice, controlled way, defensively, together, concerted effort across 80 minutes.
Did it show? Did it really show?
Yeah.
It was a stark contrast, was there?
I've got a couple of issues I'm going to pull up shortly with one of my favourite players, actually. But overall, but for the bounce of the ball towards the end, we could have come away with 2 points. Now, Leeds are a mid-table team. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget it. Leeds and Time Frame Continuum, the next match we look at, they're both mid-table teams, but we went away on a losing run of 70-odd days, and however many games it is.
How many times is he going to use that stat tonight, Dennis? That's twice. What do you reckon?
That's enough.
It's his stat of the week, isn't it?
That's enough now. But
I heard caveat crisis, 5 minutes ago and I sort of switched off.
And yes, it was a positive performance.
I got the impression, Dennis, that we didn't necessarily Leeds didn't necessarily win the match. We lost the match. We found some way of losing it. That be right?
I tell you what, I saw that in some of the chat, and that definitely was the case, because Sam's alluded to this, the final few seconds of which was a bit of a cluster, but before that, there was a few instances of, I think Thewlis was in touch as he put down. Danny Walker dropped the ball when he had the line begging at him. There was a few times where we could have easily won that match. So, yeah, I'd agree that we probably threw it. We just didn't have the composure. And the encouraging thing was that tells you that the forwards put us in the position and the backs were almost like surprised that after 10 weeks, it was like, Oh, what do we do? And then they fucked it up.
You know what's really depressing tonight was I thought possibly we'd get through this, Sam, in about 5 minutes. I thought his link could be poor and we'd just have to wind it up and apologise to everyone and say, sorry, we've not done the pod this week. But he's crystal clear. Look at him. He looks 10 years younger as well. There's something in the water there in Bavaria. Yes, something's going on.
The weight of the world is off his shoulders. He's got a proper army haircut. He looks like he's... That's who he looks like. Who's the...
Tom
Bear Grylls, that's it. He looks like Bear Grylls in his camper van out in the wilderness.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly what it is. That's what you need. That's what they should have done in pre-season training. They wouldn't have had any of this shit then. Daryl Powell would still be in charge. I mean, we'll have loads of comments about that, won't we? Everybody would be going, oh yeah, I wish we had him still here.
Are you having a bit of Black Forest for supper? Gatto, sorry.
Oh, that's disgusting. You know, she can near enough hear you through my headphones. Nothing. Don't you worry about it, love.
Okay. Well, let's have a look at the stats. Nicholson led the way with 38 tackles. Closely behind was Walker on 32. Of course, Vaughan was there. Stamp Vaughan up there every time, virtually apart from the one game when Darrell left and he was sulking on 27. Ashton 190 metres, Dufty 160, Vaughan with 155, McKayley on 128. That's the advantage of having another big prop in your front row. One I have highlighted, Mr. Dudson, only 29 metres and only 4 carries. Did he not get the memo, Sam?
He clearly didn't, did he? Maybe he just knows his time's up. Do you know what would be interesting? To know whether he really is... This is the best he's got. If this is the best he's got, then he's given his all... And he needs to be moved on. But somehow I feel he's not giving the best he's got. Not for a guy who's been around like he has and is and should still be in the prime of his playing. But if this is the best he's contributing, then it's a bit sad we've not got a young lad to come in and give energy and enthusiasm, isn't it?
That's probably the tricky thing about this. It's not necessarily Dudson's not making the meters, it's the fact we haven't got anyone that can come in that can knock him off his spot that easily.
Yes.
You know, go back 20 years and you'd have 4 or 5 grown men playing prop in the A team. But I was watching the highlights of the academy team the other day. And they put them up, and the skills and everything are there, but they do look like boys. They look, you know, 3.5 stone off what they need to be. They look like a bunch of school kids. running round. So we just don't have that A team anymore. That, although I did read, I thought this was bizarre to see it for the first time, that Chambers has brought in 13 on 13 at training. They're no longer running at fresh air. One of the changes he's made is he's pulled them in. This is why he brought back players. So they've now got 26 at training and they have 13 on 13, which before they were running at plastic cones and tackle bags. So
don't you bring tackle bags into it. Use another phrase, please.
He also mentioned about second rowers taking a bit of the shift work, taking a few more balls up the middle. Did we see any signs of that with Curry and Nicholson? Did they go looking for the ball a bit more?
I'd say Nicholson did.
You'd have to ask Dennis that.
Yeah, Nicholson definitely did. I think he was, he didn't make much of an impact, but he did a shift. Curry was a bit, he was a bit more noticeable than he has been in for the past 8 or 9 weeks. I did see that he was on the pitch this time, for instance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't like, you know, definitely not a standout. If I was to look at that team, I think, you know, everybody did step up apart from Dudson. I think I did send you a text, Rob, saying he was horrific in terms of what he put out there. I don't think anybody else, you know, wasn't sort of making sure that they made that step up this week. Mm. And I know there's been a lot of criticism about Drinkwater, but I've said this before, I've worked Drinkwater out. He's there as just as a linchpin, and he only works well when the other guy, i.e. Williams, is back on the pitch and he's like doing anything, and he just takes the pressure off. Left to on his own devices, he's probably a bit of a waste of time, but he's really important in a team environment.
What is a linchpin? You've got an engineering background. What is a linchpin? Is it that like one you squeeze and it comes out?
That's like a split pin. Yeah, like a split pin.
So is a split pin the same as a linchpin?
No, it's not really. A linchpin, imagine, you know, like when you're pulling a trailer and you put in a pin.
Is that a linchpin?
It drags it. Yeah, I think that's a linchpin. If you disagree with that and you're listening, listener, then write Sam a letter. You know, he'll confirm it.
It was interesting that when I brought up the 2 second rowers, and we'd only heard about 3 minutes ago that that Sam had watched the game and paid for the game. But when I questioned whether Curry had put a shift in, he said, "Oh, you'll have to go to Dennis on that."
I know.
Did you see that?
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But the stats say that Curry and Nicholson carried the ball exactly the same amount of time, and Curry made more meters, albeit that Nicholson made more tackles. So that's why I say it's hard to know just straight off stats. What I wanted to say is where I felt the game ultimately was lost was quite early on. We were on top, we were positive, we'd scored a couple of tries, and my best mate Stefan broke through again on our left hand side, their right. And with Ashton coming up on his left with a relatively easy short pass to put him away again, he chose a more difficult long pass inside, which Walker dropped. And that would have put us 2 scores ahead. And we never did get 2 scores ahead. Mm. And I feel that was quite a critical part of the game. 5-10 minutes before half-time, I felt it was disappointing to see him choose the harder option.
And that's one of his strengths. I mean, his strength isn't power or pace, but he does quite often draw a man nicely and throw a ball. So
yes, yeah.
Oh, well.
What about his kicking? What was his stats for kicking, Sam?
He managed 3, but I think did he miss a penalty goal as well, Sam? I'm not sure. We scored 4 tries. Attendance was 15,166. What's Headingley like, Dennis? Nice atmosphere?
Yeah, we'll come to it in tackle bags. Well, I hope we don't, actually, because I've only got 15 seconds. But it seemed that both sets of fans were in a weird situation. Leeds weren't really that confident, and the game itself wasn't, like, that great, because everybody kept... It wasn't the best performance from them. And Warrington fans were relatively quiet, and there was less of them, so... but it is the best stadium that I've been to, I think, because it's got the big feel about it and you can still walk around.
You sent me a picture of the Skyrack before kickoff.
Oh, video. Yeah.
What's happened to all the furniture? Have they got rid of all the furniture? There didn't seem to be any furnishings in the place.
I don't recognise it, if I'm honest.
Oh, dear.
You know, from when we went, you walk in and it was a straightforward pub.
Now, the bar still kind of on your left as you go in. That's
yeah.
That's the way I remember.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's all opened up and they've got different, like, games rooms and stuff. You wouldn't like it. It's too much for you now.
I remember going there. I don't know what we were watching, but there was a lad you were at uni with who was obsessed with Wigan. And Wigan were playing the Kangaroos. And he thought Wigan would have a chance. It was like 50-0 at half-time to the Kangaroos. I remember that. Oh, look at him. Just absolutely glazed.
I have no idea.
Face.
I don't remember any of that period. Let's move on. Come on.
Here's Gary Chambers' post-match thoughts.
That game could go either way, couldn't it? And that's what happens. That's just how it is. You know, maybe next week it'll go our way. There's a non-negotiable in this game. You come up and you turn up and you work hard. It's a brutal, brutal game. And when you invest a lot of energy in something and it doesn't quite pay off, then yeah, you do feel down. But part of being a professional sportsman is finding a way to re-energise and go again. That's what the best do. And that's what this club demands.
I like Gary. I like what he has to say, Sam. He doesn't state the bleeding obvious. He just seems to have listened to the podcast and he repeats what we've been saying for the past 4 years. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but he does tone his Scouse accent down slightly, doesn't he? For the media.
Does he?
We're an episode ahead on Rumpole of the Chambers, and I think I've gone too Scouse too early. He's very Scouse in episode 3. I don't know where he's going to be by episode 5.
Oh, dear.
I like it. I mean, he mentioned that he wants the second row forwards. This is prior to the game, but he mentioned he wants them to take more ball up. He's not getting carried away. He's telling everyone that that's the norm. You have to put a shift in rugby league, and if you don't put a shift in, you're found out. You know, it's a collective team performance. I like what he's saying. He also seems to have respect. I'm not sure Daryl ever had the respect of all the dressing room from reading between the lines, but Chambers is a bit Tony Barrow. Tony Barrow ran that A team for a long, long time. All of a sudden, when he was given the first team role, I think reluctantly he was given the first team role, because so many of those players had come through Tony Barrow and he'd fathered them. They played for him. They turned out for him. I feel it's
he'd
the same.
He fathered him. You sure about that?
Can I say that in Germany? Is that?
No, it's not. Yes, but in the fatherland, yes.
Just feel they've got respect for him, Sam. I feel that he's getting them to work together. And he also mentioned, and then maybe there's some going forward on the time frame continuum, but Dennis was banging the drum all year, and we haven't been banging the drum in the dressing room because, essentially, we haven't been putting the ball up our sleeve, up our jumper, and running with the props. And he mentions in the next game that we started to play ping-pong rugby league again, throwing it back and two across the pitch. We went away from the directive of just giving it to Vaughan, giving it to McKaylee, getting on a roll.
Yeah. And you're not talking about one-man rugby, but you are talking about respecting possession, aren't you? Because when you've got the ball, they can't score. And when you've got the ball, most times, they're losing energy.
So
in terms of the opposition.
Why on earth did we go away from that? Why didn't Powell and Sheridan and his coaching staff not realise what was right for the first 10 games of the season we suddenly went away from? And he never got back to that. Why? Looking back at it now, I'm thinking it's been rectified pretty quickly in 2 games. But he'd lost the dressing room. Was it around Maguire? Were they broken in regards to who was on Charnley's side and who was on Maguire's side? Did it just not, something in the background not working for him, possibly? I don't know.
Yeah, something definitely.
Politics.
Something cracked. We don't know. We probably won't until a year or two after the event and you hear someone say.
When's Daryl coming on?
Whatever.
Where is he? Is he back off holiday?
Daryl sent me, and you've seen the message. He sent a very long message to us, and we're not going to repeat it, but there was a lot of things in that message that went, oh, okay, right. I thought he summed it up perfectly. But we offered him to come on the podcast. He has now broken all radio contact. I think we had 38 emojis from him via text during the season. Nothing now for over a month.
Is that the end of an era?
Pretty sure. Sent him a message to say, hope your holiday's gone well. Still here if you want to come on the pod. Best of luck. Nothing. He read it. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing back. He's
moved on. He's clearly
had time for the first time ever while he's been lying on a sun lounger to listen to the podcast.
That'll be the answer. His number.
Oh dear. Other results. First of all, there's a round one result. Postponed due to Saints' trip to play in the World Club Challenge. St Helens finally met up with Huddersfield and beat them 32-18. And then round 22 results. Huddersfield 8, Salford 20, Saints 28, Hull KR 6, Wakefield 12, Castleford 28, Wigan 13, Hull 12, and Lee 14, Catalans 30. No sort of unusual results there, I don't think. I think it was all pretty much par for the course.
Yeah, but I'm surprised he even bothered to play that round one result. That 32-18, both teams had been quite comfortable with that. If you said, don't bother playing it.
Just give them the points.
Give them the 2 points and a reasonably face-saving loss away to St Helens. We'll take that.
Okay, on to the Hull game away. The team was Dufty, Thulis, Matautier and Ratchford in the centres. No sign of Connor Wrench. Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, McKaylee, Walker, Vaughan, Curry, Nicholson and Harrison at 13. Interchange bench was Clark, Cassiano, Philbin and Crowther. Dudson finally dropped. So, Wyre had been on a car crash for 76 days. Could they drive back on Corth on the 77th day? Start the ignition. Here's the highlights.
Williams, it's loose and it's going to be picked up by Swift. And this is try time, surely, for Adam Swift. So much pace and an inevitable score from that mistake. Well, this is good handling though from Warrington. Here's Thulis searching and finds Dufty with brilliant footwork and Williams to score. Walker picks up and off he goes. Williams with the ball back on the inside. The gliding Dufty again here. Beautiful stuff. Oh, absolutely beautiful stuff from Matt Dufty. That really was. Clark spins it away. Back it comes to Williams, who pops one over the top. And an open invitation for Matty Ashton to get over. And Warrington suddenly find winning ways again.
Final score, Hull 4, London 0. No, sorry, Hull 4, Warrington 18. Who was anyone there? Have we seen it? What have we got? We've got highlights, that's it.
We've got highlights. I listened to it while walking around the village. I decided I wasn't going.
Lovely.
Why? Why weren't you going? You were supposed to cover it. Oh, God's sake.
I didn't want to.
Can't get the stuff.
He didn't have your free pass, did he?
Oh, have you not got one for Warrington? You should have by now. All the good work that we've done on the podcast and all the positivity.
I mean, I often go to Mrs. London for some, you know, common sense. What's Mrs. Waywell's take on the season this year? Could we just get a couple of words from Mrs. Waywell on what she's
Mrs.
made
Waywell,
of the season?
Mrs. Waywell, would you be happy to just say what would you say of the Warrington season this year? What would you describe it as?
Lackluster.
Oh, did you hear that?
That's a good word.
Is
yes,
that,
yes.
Is that similar to Dennis's performance in the camper van?
Have you got something else to add?
No, it's just like a downward ski.
You've been looking at the bloody ski jumps again. She's going off on one now. She's looking on her phone at where to go. She wants to go up one of these ski jumps and have a ride around. I don't want to go on it. Oh, dear. Do you want me to show you the upper deck of the
no.
While I'm here? There we go. Let's just, where's the lights? I can't turn the light on. There we go. So this is the upper deck here. This is where I'll be sleeping tonight.
This is great podcast. Up here tonight. Great podcast stuff, this, Dennis. Thanks.
Yeah. So I've got a TUG 200 sleeping bag there.
It's like the Blair Witch.
I'll turn the light out because I need to save the electricity because I'm not running on a hookup. So, yeah. Anyway, that's your tour of the van done.
Is that hull covered then? Is that the game done? Are we done?
Oh,
I think
here's the thing about Hull. I would just like to add this bit. I was glad that Chambers dropped Dudson, and like you've just alluded to, you like what Chambers is all about and everything. Is it the right thing then? We should have maybe just given him the job to take over rather than appoint somebody without any experience as a first team coach. What do you think, Rob?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Are we going to play some music?
Do you want me to save you there? Do you want me to save you there?
No, my camp is definitely in Gary's camp.
Okay.
It's Gary Camp. Wasn't he in Spandau Ballet or something?
He was, yeah.
There'll be a court case coming about who owns the rights shortly.
Come on, Dennis. Sam, who do you want then? Do you want Gary? Gary to continue or Samuel to come in? I call him Samuel because you're Sam. You're Sam. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, what I was interested in on Monday evening this week, I was listening to Radio 5. They talk about the Premier League usually.
Walking around the village?
Night. Yeah, while I was going out for a walk, yeah. On my flashing earphones. And they were talking about the number two at a club. And although he's been in the background, Gary Chambers is in a way a number two. And they were saying, and they had a couple of players on there, James Ward-Prowse, and he said that often the assistant is the man you go to, the man you build a relationship with, the man you are friendly with. And perhaps that's what we're seeing in this initial resurgence. So it would be interesting to see if Gary Chambers, Samuel Burgess wasn't to come because he felt that he couldn't lie on a beach semi-naked and get photographed by the paparazzi, if he felt that wasn't for him in South Warrington, then it'd be interesting to see whether Gary Chambers could keep that distance
that you and lie need on a beach
as the boss long term, because in the initial stage he's come in and effectively he's given them, put an arm round them, given a hug, tried to build them up. Be interesting to see how it would go if he had a bit of adversity.
Yeah, I know
what
you're saying.
Put his foot down.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Sam, perfectly. That you just wonder how long it can last for. How long's the honeymoon period under a sort of number two coach? Works for a while, but then at some point you've got to make a few tough decisions. I think that the good analogy there is you mentioned the beach, and I think at the moment, if you could imagine Gary Chambers on the beach, I think he would definitely be going for factor 30, maybe a factor 50. That's the kind I just see Gary being sensible, covering up, making sure every orifice is covered in some form of water protection. I think Burgess is more your Hawaiian tropic. I think he's looking for a tan. He's not really caring about his skin long term. I think that's the difference we're getting between a very sensible beach goer and a guy who likes lying on the beach in Rio. That's what I think.
It's pity he didn't put that much thought into buying a car when he bought that Renault Clio off you then, isn't it?
Good car, that. It was car of the year, that. 1980, whatever it was. See, again, anyway, sensible. He did his research. knew that Belcharm Motor Company in Latchford was the place to go. Maybe pop upstairs to TNT restaurant for a Chinese afterwards. What a man. What a man.
You know, that's all you had for about 3 years.
Well, I had a bit of a scam going, you see, because I worked downstairs at
Belcharm, I remember the
and
scam.
I often used to do the last shift. And Tommy, who lived upstairs with TNT restaurant, Tommy didn't really have much heating, but there was a spiral staircase that went through the showroom upstairs, you see. So Tommy used to come down to me and say, could you leave the heating on when you go home? So I'd leave the heating on every night at the expense of Renault, and Tommy would get his restaurant heated, and then I'd go upstairs and have a free Chinese once a week.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about this. I think you must have put on about 2 stone over about a year period, right, with all these Chinese.
I used to take a different woman for dinner there every week. And Tommy was in on it and go, oh, hello, Rob, I've not seen you for months.
Okay, I bet he's going to cut all this out. Anyway,
finish this off? That I can't remember what registration plate it was, but the new year had come out, and I don't know why, but all these people had come and picked their car up at 12:01 because they got the new registration plate. So Dennis organises security for Belcharm Motor Company by employing a mate of ours.
Don't say it's me.
I'm not going any further. I'll leave it there. Yes.
Shit. Anyway, I listened to the game on the match, and it sounded to me that it was it built on what was observed on the Leeds match. I think it was more of the same and a bit more composure on the finishing. That was my take on it in terms of what happened on the whole match. And it sounded like the defence was probably the best it's been for about 4 months.
Chambers. Well, certainly the extended highlights showed us scrambling very well towards the back end of the game.
Where's these extended highlights? Where are you getting this from?
Have you went onto the Super League site Jesus. Rather than just
was
Sky?
Was it up? Was it for once? Had the cleaner not unplugged
it? It was up for once.
Christ. Yeah. Jesus. Chambers said they didn't play as well as they played at Leeds. He was quite honest about that. And again, he mentioned this aerial ping pong. They went away from sticking the ball up the jumper.
I don't know about this aerial ping pong, sticking it up the jumper.
Is there any other way of playing ping pong? You have to play it aerial, don't you? Isn't that just like...
They made more errors in the whole game.
Okay, let's have a game. Let's have a game of naming famous table tennis players. I'll go first. Desmond Douglas. Do you know why he was so good at table tennis? Because he grew up in a Barnardo's, and they always have table tennis tables, don't they? That's why. So he was playing table tennis. I used to spend quite a bit of time in Chagley School because I knew the headmaster's son used to let us in when they weren't there. All they had in Chagley School was table tennis tables everywhere. Jesus, different world.
We did used to play ping pong in your garage, Rob. Remember, but did there was we? No room to actually. Yeah, there was no room to play a shot because, like, the garage was just about like 1 inch bigger than the table all the way round.
That's probably why now when I play, if I'm in a resort, I'm always close to the table. I don't go back from probably. Right, tackles. Walker led the way again, 34. Nicholson, 30. It's the same again, isn't it? Print the sheet every week. Carries Vaughan led the way with the props on 19. Matautier on 15. And then looking at the meters, Dufty 195, Vaughan 176, Williams 143. McKaylee's up there over 100 meters. Who's at the other end? Cassiano down on 32 with just 5 carries. So similar to Dudson, Sam, but if he doesn't drop the ball or fuck up at the play of the ball, he's a better option, isn't he?
Yes.
Well,
on that one sample size, yes.
Again, Nicholson.
But he's prone to an error or two.
Nicholson's meters are low. Why are Nicholson's meters always low? Seems to put in quite a bit of effort. Looks the part. We like him, but he doesn't seem to ever get that many meters. Just not getting the ball. I don't know what goes on there.
Yeah. Well, we do seem to favour our left side in attack, don't we? We do seem to prefer to move towards Williams, Ratchford, Curry and Ashton.
Right.
Because when you go in the other side, you're looking potentially at Drinkwater to put him through little holes.
Mm.
But do we really go to Drinkwater enough? Are we going for every three plays we've got, are we going twice to Williams and only once to Drinkwater?
Mm. Tricky to know. Mm. This young lad Crowther seems to be putting in an effort. And rumour is possibly they're now trying to back out of the deal on his way to Castleford. And Leslie Crowther, if the price is right, could be with us next year.
Oh, I like it. Like that.
He did come up with that last week, by the way.
He had a lovely penthouse overlooking, was it Lords, Leslie Crowther? Every time there was a test match at Lords, they'd always pan out to Crowther on the balcony with some woman about 30 years younger than him in his smoking jacket. Ah, the days.
Can I just say, I was listening to it on Radio Humberside, because I can't get Radio Merseyside. It always, like, thingy. And I tell you what, they spent a good 60, 70 minutes complaining about the referee and the referee decisions. How bad must it be over there when all you've got to talk about is bloody the referee? Ridiculous.
Have you seen, I've just sent you a little message this morning, Robert Hicks has come out and said he made the wrong decision on Morgan Knox scoring a try. I mean, there's a man putting his ego before anything else. That's what that said to me. Jesus Christ. Also, just keeping on the rumours section, maybe Dwyer no longer coming. We've gone cold on that deal. I saw Hull complaining about him. They liked him when he went there first, but now he just seems to get criticised on social media that he's not the part, and we seem to be backing out of Dwyer. So, not sure what's going on.
Yeah, what's interesting to know, and we don't know, but it'd be interesting to know how many of these deals that have been agreed in principle have actually been signed. Because we knew for weeks that Darrell Clark was going to St Helens, but it was weeks before it was announced. So do these sort of thing get agreed in principle, we'll do the paperwork further down, and it's in that gap. Now we've got a new coach, we've got one coach gone, we've got a new coach coming. Has he got different ideas?
Is Cal Fitzpatrick using one of them pens like a quill, and he dips it in the ink and it just takes him ages to write it, like, you know,
doing clicky,
like a shopping list? Yeah, that's probably why it takes weeks.
Where do I stand on this? About 2-3 years ago, I had sewerage issues. I got a long pipe that leads to the road, and, you know, fair bit of my garden needed digging up. And plumber lives two doors down, and he came round and said, "I'll do it for you. If you do that bit, I'll do that bit. I'll do it, for $3,000. And I shook his hand, and then I backed out of the deal because I got a few other quotes, and I've never really spoken to him since then. Is this similar to Dwyer? Like, I don't know. Not sure. Could be.
Could
the thing is with Dwyer,
move away from the whole game. Sorry, Dennis, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say on Dwyer. The thing is, I'm going to carry on.
Look at these two. Jesus, it's like the Eurovision Song Contest 1970. Can we have your results from Germany, please,
I'm in
Dennis?
Germany.
Hello. Bloody come in, Berlin.
So, I would just like to say on Dwyer, he is enthusiastic. He does make some significant breaks, but he tends to have a brain fart following it, and then he loses the ball, drops it. That's Dwyer's game, unfortunately.
Like,
sorry, Sam. That is the finishing summarization of Brad Dwyer from Germany.
Summarization.
Over to you.
Is that like fatherhood, whatever it was?
Yes, he gets lost in translation.
Well, another one of the short players. I don't think we can move on without at least giving some praise over both games, Leeds and Hull, to young Matthew Duffy. Only 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was having a nightmare, dropping every ball that went his way, going the wrong way when someone was selling him a dummy. And at least his contribution in attack for both the game at Leeds and the game at Hull has been excellent and shows what he can do. It's just through his career, a bit like you've talked about Dwyer there, Dennis. He's up and down, isn't he? When he's good, he's very good. When he's bad, he's not so great. We just want to see more good games from him.
It's like he's almost like his mind's not elsewhere anymore.
Yes.
Right. Sam, you did say at the start of this podcast you were going to criticise one of your favourite players, and I've not seen any sign of that. What's happened?
It was Steph Rashford going through on the left hand. He took completely the wrong decision, and I felt that was where the game went away. We had the chance to go two scores up.
Was Ben Curry involved in it?
I was going to say, I thought Rob had written a whole section on Ben Curry because I thought it was going to be him as well.
Round 23 results. Salford 20, Wakefield 0. Castleford 4, St Helens 34. Hull KR 52, Lee out on the piss 10. Catalans 0, Wigan 34. Huddersfield 21, Leeds 12. So, I mean, I guess the shock was Lee, or were they just all hungover?
No. No. They're all hungover. The shot was Catalans 0, Wigan 34.
Probably a Dennis was on his way again, and he's, you know. Are you going to France? You have to. Did you go in through France? What's your route been so far, Dennis? Where have you been?
France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, and then we're going through Liechtenstein, Austria, Italy, and then back to France. Oh, Switzerland, and then France, I think.
What's this? The Himmler tour or something? What are you doing here?
Reenactment of the Second World War.
Malta. North Africa, and then, like, very good.
Let's move it on.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Sam Burgess arrived at South Sydney Rabbitohs Club at 6:30 a.m. last week, and after a lengthy meeting, it was confirmed Burgess would be released immediately despite being contracted to the end of the season. The Bunnies denied Burgess was let go because of a disagreement with head coach Jason Demetri. Here's what South Sydney CEO Blake Sully had to say when questioned by reporters.
Blake, what were the circumstances that Sam was referring to in this statement?
Oh, I think Sam's got a fair bit on at the moment. He's about his partner Lucy's about to give birth in the next few weeks to a baby. He's getting more and more involved in terms of preparing for Warrington and the head coach role there, and recruitment and retention for next season, and even having some discussions with the team there now to try and ensure that they finish the season in the strongest possible fashion. So they're the two major reasons why Sam and the club agreed today. It was in the everyone's best interest that he is allowed to focus on those two items.
Do you understand that we're sort of questioning that, though, because of the stuff that's been going on in the recent days?
Yeah, I understand why you want to question it. I can say categorically that there's no suggestion here at the club that Sam or John have leaked any information to the press in the last few weeks and months. The decision was made after a good conversation with Sam and some of the board and the football management and CEO today.
Talks very very well, doesn't he, Blake Sully? Very eloquently, very articulate for a CEO. Contrast. A little bit more's come to light on this since that. I think there was a few players effing and jeffing in the dressing room, and I think Demetri let it go and Burgess wasn't happy with that. He wanted to rule with an iron fist. Allegedly Russell Crowe slammed down the phone on Burgess. They've not fallen out, but Sam needs to focus on his new baby coming on his way and everything else. I don't remember any of my boys coming to me who were about to have a baby and I said, oh, take the rest of the year off, focus on that. Anyway, Interesting.
Well, what do you think about the fact that, you know, he's got high standards when it comes to things like that, and he wants the respect. Is that not, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, you learn a lot in management, don't you? It's all very well throwing the chalk duster at people, but you've got to learn to adapt. You can't just rule with an iron fist all the time unless you're Alex Ferguson in the 1990s. So I think he's got a lot to learn yet.
Yes. The story, as I understand it, is that he felt that Demetrio should have pulled Walker up there and then in front of the team because Walker was told him to fuck off. Hmm. That's as far as I understand it. Walker, a player, directly told the coach to fuck off. And as far as I understand it, Burgess felt Demetrio shouldn't have had a quiet word with him later. He should have told him there and then he was boss. Both ways can work. You just don't know because you're not there. Both ways can work, can't they?
Didn't, though, like it wasn't Messi drinking cans of Coke or something at Barcelona before the games and Pep wasn't happy and he told him off. Told him off.
Yeah, because he likes Pepsi.
It was either Pepsi or Coke, but he told him off. He told him off for drinking, you know, fizzy drinks in the dressing room before the game. And just to make a point, Messi walked across the dressing room and got a can of Coke and sat down and opened it in front of him in the middle of the team talk, just to basically say, you'll go before I go at Barcelona. This was in, the, you know, Messi's heyday. Sometimes you have to just treat players differently, don't you? I don't know. Tricky. My biggest concern is that there was paparazzi taking pictures of Burgess this week on a beach in Sydney. I don't know why he's choosing Coogee Beach because it's the shittest beach in Sydney. I mean, it's really bad.
Is it part of the acclimatisation process for Thirlwall?
I don't know, but it's concrete central down there. It's very blowy, very windy. Poor walk to the shops back across the road. It's the only beach really in Sydney where the council has let fast food take over. So all the sort of restaurants on the front are Subway or McDonald's or... maybe he's gearing himself up for Blackpool. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Which one would you choose to go to, Rob, if you and Mrs. London were going for a nice Sunday afternoon, 2 hours sit in the sunshine? Which beach?
Probably Whale Beach. Whale Beach is nice. Palm Beach is quite nice. I don't go when the blow-ins go on the weekend when, you know, all these people who, they should be working 7 days a week. I don't know why they give the working classes the weekend off. It's ridiculous.
Oh, dear. There's another 47 listeners gone.
Ex-wife favourite Andrew Johns has backed Sam Burgess to make an impact at the HJ. Here's what Johns and Brad Fittler said when asked the question on Australian TV whether Burgess would be a success at Warrington.
Sam Burgess, boys, head coaching gig over in the UK with Warrington, which he's so well regarded in coaching circles for someone who's never coached before. What skill sets does he bring makes him... But there was a war for his services between the Dolphins and Souths.
Was there? Well, they re-signed Jason Demetrio for a few more years, and I just think he had the opportunity to have his own team. He had his own team at Coffs Harbour. I spoke to him about this, and, like, it's obviously a different league, but he had to chase sponsors, chase players, you know, get the whole thing together. So, mate, that teaches you a lot. Mm. So he went up there and... What was the team?
Nana Glen? No?
Yeah, one of them.
Russell's Crows Farm, was that?
The Axemen?
Axemen,
or yeah. And then he's been doing, you know... an assistant for a few years.
I spoke to someone within the organisation because I've talked to the owner at Warrington about Sam. He said his man management is first class, his communication is unbelievable, but he said he just commands respect. And he said he just goes to different players with big egos, players, you know, who sometimes don't get told what they should be told, and he just hits them between the eyes. And they all take it, because he's revered. Imagine going to England with the players over there, and he's some of those players...
Was Warrington Simon's team?
Simon Moran's,
Is he still there?
Yeah.
Does he just love it?
Loves it. So I think Justin Holbrook was looking, but he's obviously got a young family. It was a big ask for him to move his family over there.
Well, I think I was talking about it, and he's saying bloke from Newcastle, back row, Fitzgibbon.
He's gone there. Yeah. He's playing sensational.
Who else is there? There's
you got
Dufty's there.
Paul Vaughan's there.
Paul Vaughan just went there.
Is Cassiano still there?
And there's one other. There's one other they got.
George Williams is halfback.
They
got a
reasonable side.
Mm. Mate, they got a good team. But under Sam, they will go like that. Without shadow of a doubt.
I mean, Fittler doesn't quite sound like he knows what day it is. But, I mean, they're backing him. His team are backing him. His mates are backing him, aren't they? There seems to be a...
Yes.
If I ask anyone in Sydney, anyone I know in Sydney, that Sam Burgess is going to Warrington, they roll their eyes based on what press he's had in this city for the last 10 years. But the players that Burgess is friends with all back him. So it'd be intriguing to see where Warrington got their...
Are we getting him on the podcast? Have you got his number?
I mean, I could probably go and find him at Coogee Beach.
Yeah.
See if he's down there. Well, I mean, they're backing him. I mean, Sam actually, he avoided the question when I asked, would you continue with Chambers or Burgess? He went off on some massive tangent about second team coaching. So come on, Sankey. Who do you want next year? Well, Chambers or Burgess? If you could choose now, in hindsight... After two
in hindsight?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Justin Holbrook?
Dennis?
Steve Price.
I think you've got to back Burgess. The club's gone all in on a big name, superstar player that they think could... bring the X factor.
Could.
But it is it yeah, it could,
think,
maybe, coulda, shoulda.
Could.
Possibly. All those type of things. It's a gamble. It's a gamble, isn't it? There is no doubt, as a player, he was a superstar. Mm-hmm. He's got baggage, but he's got baggage in the bright lights big city of Sydney. He won't have baggage in Latchford at the kebab shop at 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Talking of a gamble, I hear that Gleeson's turned down Warrington possibly for continuing on. Rumour again surfacing maybe that he was offered to stay at Warrington, but he's got bigger sights set on rugby union and everything else. Are we seeing an impact from Gleeson in attack?
Too early, innit? Too early, this.
Dennis,
I don't see anything at the moment.
You know, in the last 10 minutes, Dennis is...
He's
settled back. He's falling asleep. He's on Bavarian time.
What time is it anyway?
Mrs. Waywell.
She's gone.
Mrs. Waywell might be giving me a little foot massage there. We don't know.
Mrs. Waywell's asleep.
No, she's gone.
What do you mean she's gone? What, she's gone for a walk or she's under that
door? She's definitely alive. She's just gone to sleep.
Where are you going after this? Are you going upstairs into the top cabin?
Yeah, I'll probably go into the top tonight. Yeah.
Like a Sherman tank, aren't you? Roaming through the...
Yes. Yeah.
Panzer. He's a Panzer tank.
Yeah.
NRL Dolphins prop Herman Essayesse, once linked with a move to Warrington, has signed for Hull. The powerful ball-playing forward will link up with the Humberside club on a 3-year deal starting from next season. Has Samuel got bigger
aspirations.
Players.
So tired. I got up to do this podcast at 5:20 a.m. Jesus, why are we doing this?
You're worried now that you're going to have to edit this, aren't you? No. That's what's worrying you.
No, I'm not. No. Yes. Has he got bigger aspirations, Sam? Has Samuel got bigger aspirations?
Yes, 100%.
You think so?
100%.
So who does he know? Who's his mates? Who's he going to bring in? There was talk of his brother coming over. I saw one of the... Was it Serious About Rugby League? Put a big article up saying he was on his way to Warrington, but he's just signed a new contract with Souths. So that was a bit weird. Who do we know? Who does he know that we could bring in?
Who's he mates?
Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker, Campbell Graham. Well, you've got a few mates at Southside. Well, it won't be Cody players. Walker or Latrell, will it? I think genuinely, with him being only a couple of years after him retiring, he will know one or two of those senior players who are, let's face it, on the cusp of the downslope, NRL terms, but can he encourage them to come across and be part of being a star in the Super League?
Mm.
Now, they will be 30-year-olds. There's no doubt about that. You're not going to get a star at 25.
Mm.
You might get a youngster who's not quite made it yet at 23. You're not going to get a star in the prime. If they've still got a chance of playing Origin, they're not going to come over here, are they? But in the same way that we got Langer and Nicow and G for that one season.
Gina G,
yeah. He still has...
He's still talking, Dennis.
He still has a bit of star.
I know.
I'm waiting for Dennis to come in and rescue us.
Dennis
come
is
on.
Finished. No. Let's move on.
See you two. You really are struggling, aren't you, to put this together? I haven't read the script. I have no idea what you're talking about.
When did you ever read the script? Lee Leopards won their first Challenge Cup title for 52 years, beating Hull KR 17-16 in Golden Point following a Lachlan Lamb drop goal. Wembley Stadium recorded an attendance of just 58,213. I didn't watch it. I couldn't be arsed. It was late.
Yeah.
What's the point? Wasn't going to watch that. Not interested.
I did.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. Good. Was it? Excellent. Did you go? Did you support the RFL?
No,
did you go? Day? Did you?
No.
Did you go?
But I'd
no,
be interested.
Exactly.
Interested to see what you think if Magic Weekend doesn't happen.
Oh, Magic Weekend. Christ.
No, the suggestion is it's not going to happen. So do you think that will entice more people to the Challenge Cup final for a weekend away?
That's a good point. No. Because it's only going to be two teams and you're not going to see your team, are you? So, no one's going to be arsed with that.
Okay.
I like the Magic Weekend. I think they should have it just somewhere a bit different. Like, I don't know, Accrington Stanley or something.
If you had to get a magician, like a famous magician to, from past or present, to sponsor the Magic Weekend, who would you say would be... I would say probably Sutty would be the best one for him.
No.
Was Sweep the Magician or Sutty? Can't remember. We used to have the one.
Sutty.
Was it Sutty?
Sutty.
Sutty. I saw Paul Daniels in 1982 at the Prince of Wales with Debbie McGee in London.
The lovely Debbie McGee.
The same weekend, the Wimpy was blown up at Piccadilly.
God.
Dennis has gone.
It's like a history lesson, this, isn't it?
This is pathetic.
Sam, carry on. Read the next bit out. Got to get it back together.
Every Super League game could be shown live and feature a video referee from next season. Rugby League Commercial has entered into 30-day exclusive talks with Sky to formalise the rights until the end of 2026. It is believed the agreement sees Sky paying less for Super League than in their previous deal.
Oh, there's our new newsreader. We just found him. There he is,
yeah.
Angela Rippon.
Well done.
What are your legs like?
Not very good.
Oh dear, every game. What worries me is how much am I going to have to pay for every game? That's this is going to be £10 every week. I don't want to pay that.
You've got a free pass, haven't you? You're going to give me the code for. I'm still waiting.
Oh dear. Has IMG started yet? What does it stand for? Invisible Marketing Group. When are they kicking in?
Oh, that was good. That was good. Not even written that.
Thank you.
Order! Order! Oh, morning, Garth.
Morning, Ralphred.
Oh, Gary. Oh, was this really a good idea to bring the team along to the public seating gallery of the courtroom? Oh, why, the only court this lot can relate to is Courtyards on Bridge Street.
It's all about making them realise that they're judged by their own actions, Ralphie. Although when it comes to Gil Dudson and courting his yards, it's probably best he goes into witness protection.
Well, that's all very well, Gary, but do you really think this chambers is appropriate? I mean, the last chap up in front of the judge was only up for a parking fine. Have you ever had a parking ticket, Gareth?
Clean as a whistle, Ralphie. Never been in the dock. Although, ironically, I did once have a Renault Clio clamped on Raddon Court.
She who must be obeyed has always said our right edge defence is guilty as charged.
I'm not sure we could put them behind lock and key, Ralphie. They're bound to slip through the bars.
Well, less of your witty one-liners, Gareth. I mean, this is no trifling matter. They should clearly be taken into custody. And what's the next what's the next case, Gary?
It's Ben's inhaler, Ralphie. He's up on charges of big screen procrastination.
Is that you, Your Honour?
Oh, quick, Gary. He doesn't have a Ben Curry's leg to stand on. Call Samuel's lawyer. Why, he's got more people out of a sticky situation than a Yorkshireman's tongue behind the back of Greg's.
Oh, it's no good, Ralphie. We can't fit him under the hourly rate with Super League. This isn't the NRL.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Oh, what would my barrister do?
Perhaps HJQC can represent him, Ralphie. Why, here he comes now.
I didn't get where I am today by wearing a barrister's wig made out of Luke Gale's hairpiece interwoven and held together by Tanya Arnold's bikini line waxing strips.
Not guilty. I'd like to send it up to the jury as a no try.
Not now, Benji.
I can't Professor Broomhead pay the council off. I'm sure this is only just a magistrate's matter.
Oh, I think it's fair to say, Ralphie, when it comes to judging Warrington's season, it's not going to take any jury in the land long to decide.
Oh, yes. As I said to the RFL about my severance pay, perhaps it's best the club just pleads guilty, Gary. You know, to receive a lighter sentencing. Besides, our vain Instagram pack won't last 5 minutes in the showers. The amount of times Cassiano drops the soap, there'll be more suds than crossfields.
Couple of things to pick up with you on this.
Here we go.
I've got a couple of things.
Doesn't give a shit about the game at Leeds, but he's got a couple of things to pick up on this.
Yes. Tell me about courtyards. Tell me about courtyards.
Don't want to bring that one up. Incident in courtyards that will remain in courtyards.
Was Courtyards the little one that was dabbing little passes down the side of the red line?
We got spiked in Courtyards. Dennis knows what I'm talking about. Jesus. Going back to that.
No comment.
She was a nurse from Northwich or somewhere. Happy days. Right. Sorry,
Sam. Did she try experimenting on you?
It's a downward slope that night. Christ.
Oh, dear. Yeah, we don't talk about that.
So, yeah, come on. That's your first qualm. What's your second one, Sam? Is that it?
My second one is, I don't see a plot emerging in this yet.
What is the plot at Warrington at the moment? We're just filling in, aren't we? This is just the sitcom that's filling in.
Oh, I see.
It's not got a direction or a conclusion.
Oh, I've been waiting for a murder to happen or something like that, and him to be defending. Oh.
Now, Sam, are you sitting down? Because I just want to run a few stats by you when it comes to the sitcom. You've now listened to 63 episodes of the sitcom.
Yes.
17 Rimmer's Lot, 17 Mutiny on the HGA, 15 Beers, 12 Fall in the Rise of Darryl Powell, and 2 Rumpole of the Chambers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It adds up to 8 hours and 58 minutes of your life walking around the village. Yes. It's the equivalent of watching series 1, 2, and 3 of the classic 1979, 1980, and 1981 TV programme Terry and June. So starring June Whitfield.
And Terry Scott.
Apparently he was a cunt on set.
Oh, Jesus. Fortunately, we don't have to put up with that.
My highlight still to this day, well, two highlights. I used to get a warm, fuzzy feeling when the music for Beers played. And my highlight still has to be Who Shot Ralph Rimmer episode.
Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it? That's
just a long time ago. It was a long time ago.
With the football season now underway, I thought I'd compare the Super League clubs to some of English football's elites. Castleford Tigers, I've decided, are Crystal Palace, a noisy fan base, an intimidating place to go. Catalans, I've gone with Arsenal, have recently made the step up from also-rans into a team that are really competing for the big honours. Huddersfield Giants, I've gone with West Ham. They've got a great history, but I do wonder if they really do service to that great history that they've got. Hull FC, I've picked Aston Villa, a big club with a fantastic history in the sport. Across the city in Hull, Hull KR, I've picked Brighton, heavily ambitious club who make great signings. For Leeds Rhinos, I've gone with Manchester United. Underwhelming and underperforming at the minute and have been for a few years, but are still coming off the back of a really golden era. For the Lee Leopards, I've picked Newcastle. It feels like Lee and Newcastle are both on the rise, and we'll be talking about both of those sides in their respective sports for some time to come. St Helens, sadly it had to be Manchester City really. The dominant force in Super League and in the Premier League for the last 3, 4, 5 years now, and a side that you just never can give up on really. For Salford, I've picked Brentford, a side known for playing attractive rugby and for living within their means. Warrington, I've gone with Tottenham. Perpetual underperformers, yet always manage to give you that little bit of hope that this year might be a bit different. Wigan, I've gone with Chelsea. Nobody really likes them, yet they're always there or thereabouts somehow. They're always willing to flex their muscles in the transfer market and sign big players as well. And then with Wakefield, I've gone with Everton. They've got an abysmal record, and they've been clinging on to survival for dear life. Yet it finally looks like this year might be the year that it all comes crumbling down for both Wakefield Trinity and for Everton.
Well, match of the club there, put together by Daniel. Castleford Crystal Palace, Catalans Arsenal, Huddersfield West Ham, Hull Aston Villa, Hull KR Brighton, Leeds Man U, Lee Newcastle United, St Helens Man City, Salford Brentford, Warrington Spurs, Wigan Chelsea and Wakefield Everton.
First of all, the Leeds fans are going to be delighted at being put together with the Man United fans, aren't they? Yeah. There's a war just broken out.
Yeah.
But But Wakefield at Everton, I think he's bang on. I think he's bang on. Everton and Wakefield are both down.
Yeah, Warrington, Tottenham.
Yes, I can see that. Almost, but never quite for years and years and years.
But they've got beer that comes through the bottom, haven't they, at Tottenham? That you put the glass on the bar and it squirts up through it.
They have at Headingley as well, or at least they have at the cricket ground side.
Oh.
Dennis, are you going to be venturing to that swimming pool down the road that's full of beer that you can swim in? Are you going to be going there in the next 24 hours?
Yes, it could. 48 hours, it could be. I'm not sure if it's still open or not, but the plan is to go to the Sprickington, whatever it's called, brewery in Austria,
right,
where they've got a pool that they fill full of beer that you can rent and go and have a swim in.
Well, how do they sterilise it? It's just full of beer from the HJ, is it?
We've just been talking about this at length for about an hour, and I was getting very concerned about getting a yeast infection. But apparently it's done. There is pictures of a man and a few other people in it. Yeah. You actually pay less if you're willing to go in with other people. But if you want it on your own, you pay more. So it's all legit.
What would you want
to... Did you get a yeast infection from the nurse at courtyard?
How dare you? How dare you bring that up? Disgraceful. I like what Daniel did here. He's put a lot of work into this. Although I will say that his soundbite was 3 minutes and 40 seconds, and I had to cut it back to 2 minutes and 23 to fit it within Match of the Day theme tune. He did go on a rant about Manchester United for about 80 seconds, so I cut that out. I'd like to see equivalent supermarkets based on.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a good one. I was thinking Warrington's probably Harrods. You know, we've paid a lot for it where you can get something just as decent down the road for half price. I'm thinking that, but I might work on that one. We'll come up with an alternative next week.
I look forward to that. I don't know anything about football.
Patronising, isn't he? Listen to him in his little fucking wank cabin.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing tackle bags. No way, tackle vlogs. No hang on, tackle books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
I haven't really got anything on this. I've got 15 seconds, apparently. I've seen you tweet. Yes, I saw it this afternoon. What can I say about Leeds? I had to put the video out because obviously I was travelling as well the other day, and I'm not entirely sure what I want to say. But did you see the UFO go over? That's the only thing that interests me about Leeds.
What was that
UFO going over? Don't know. No idea.
You
I only know
so excited
it
by that, didn't you?
Was there a drone?
No drone. The speed it was going.
Absolutely. Wasn't Richie Myler's bollocks, was it? Or was he not playing on?
Well, it could be. Here's the best thing about it, right? There's a well-known UFO journalist called George Knapp.
That well-known bloke, yeah.
In America. He's been a journalist for about 40-odd years. And I actually tweeted the video on Instagram. And he replied the other day. And he actually replied and said, "You just said Leeds is now my favourite place." Can't believe it. So I've actually got some fame off tackle bags. So I thought to myself, maybe we should end it here. And I actually finished the video with that as well, saying I'm not going to do any more. just to see how many people would watch it to the end and see that bit. So far, two people have watched it to the end. But a couple of things about Leeds. On the tackle bags, I went to the Northern Monk Brewery for a brewery tour. That was good. Yeah. Having a few little drinks there. That was nice. I went to the Armoury Museum. If you ever go to Leeds, then you can spend a full day there. They had a jousting competition this week between Great Britain and Australia, which I didn't get to see. But
Renowned for jousting, aren't they?
I thought that was a bit out of place.
Medieval settlements around Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I did try and get on the set of Emmerdale, but a security guard came round and saw me messing about near the gate, so he came and shifted me off. But I'm just going to go back to the Leeds ground and that itself. Although Leeds has been established for quite a while, but it's got a new stand and what have you, most of the new grounds stop fans mixing and walking to the other end of the, you know, the ground, this, that and the other. Mm. There, you can walk around everywhere. It's great. So that would be the most positive outcome of that particular visit. They did have an owl there. But here's the other thing. Tackle Bag's idea, they had the e-bar there as well, which was basically you can just stick a card in and it dispenses on its own without anybody helping out.
That's good, isn't it?
So,
did the owl have a 360 view?
What do you mean?
Can't they turn their heads 360? They can go all the way around.
No, that's a myth.
Let's get an owl on the pod.
Yeah. So I've got nothing else on tackle bags. The video's out there. You can watch it. You can still buy me a coffee if you want, and I might do another series, but I doubt it.
Oh, you're done now? Is that it?
I am away.
What about Old Trafford?
They moved the Salford game, but I will be in the Dolomites when that's on anyway. And then when I get back, I'd have to go to Huddersfield. And at the moment, I'm not really feeling it after this holiday.
What are you going to do next year? You'll have to move on to something else. Maybe do something on the continent.
Well, I mean, we've got how many listeners listening to this from all around the world? Maybe they can, like, you know...
19 in Portugal this week. 19 in Portugal this week. I can
those 19 people... and a few others can write in to say what you want me to do next year. That's what I'll do. Are you laughing?
19 in Portugal this week. France, we have 15.
19 in Portugal.
Sweden. Oh, she's missing.
She woke up. I thought she was asleep.
No. He's about to jump on a Dolomites in a second, is what he's just said.
She's laughing at that we've only had 19, but I did confirm that was Portugal.
Italy 9, Malaysia 7, no. Netherlands. What about you go to the Netherlands? Dogs. It's flat there. You'd save on petrol. 6.
Oh, yeah.
Morocco 5.
Well, I'm not going there.
Indonesia 5.
That's good.
That's this week. So, anyway.
Anyway, well, listen. What do you think of the tackle bags concept? Anyway, have you been won over after all this? How many hours of watching it?
I haven't really. To be fair, mate, I've only watched about two. I go down a wormhole. I'm obsessed with this bloke delivering Uber Eats in London at the moment. London hustle. And I found this other guy who's now looking at depressing towns in England and.
No, I've seen that.
Well, like pubs have closed. He looks a bit like George Williams. So I've been watching that. But, I mean, I think Sam's a big fan. Sam sits down with Mrs. Sankey and watches it, don't you, Samuel?
We do. Usually while we're lying in bed together, it gets us going for the...
Oh,
Jesus. I'm definitely not doing any more.
Oh, bile in the back of my throat now. Burning. Oh,
I can't look at my bloody camera again.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching... Don't worry, there isn't.
predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two more games to predict. First up, Wyre find themselves back on Sky with a home fixture against Castleford on Saturday the 2nd of September. The game has been brought forward to 3 p.m. Then the following Friday night, Warrington make the short trip to Salford, kick-off 7:45 p.m. Here's Hal.
Well, fortunately, not much more of this utter shite to go. And thankfully it won't be too long before I'm off on holiday. Anyway, two more predictions. Round 24. Warrington versus Castleford. Wyre to win by 14 points. Round 25. Salford versus Warrington. The Devils to win by 1 point. Right, I'm off to pack my deck shoes, as it'll be just me and Jenna Brooks sailing the Mediterranean, and partying on the island of Ibiza. And with a bit of luck, I'll get to drop my anchor in her Balearics.
Well, Hal's gone. Wyre to beat Cass by 14, but lose to Salford by a point. I think Cass have lost a couple of players since the predictions were put together as well. So I think we'll win comfortably. Back to basics. Gary will have them fired up. He won't want any complacency. McKaylee and Vaughan will both make 120 metres plus. Easy win, Sam, yeah?
Yeah, I can't see why it wouldn't be. We got spanked last time we went to Castleford. I think the players will rightly be a bit embarrassed by that performance. And as long as their attitude is right, I see a 30-point, maybe 24-point win. For and Warrington.
Now, Salford away, I was quite surprised. The What Bevan panel seemed to favour Salford. I've maybe taken my eye off the ball. Salford are playing quite well, are they?
No, they're very up and down. They're not the same team that they were. They're dangerous at home, but they've lost a couple of players themselves. They seem to be... The club, again, has got issues on being taken over and whether they're going to have a permanent home.
Is Kukash still there?
Or not?
Has he gone, has he?
No, he's gone.
Talk about how it's such. Jesus.
Tyler Dupree is off to Wigan. So they're not quite the same team that they were this time last year. We've got a chance.
I'm going to go for two wins. I'm very much in Gary's camp. That euphemism, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but, I think you're a bit careful there.
Dennis, I mean, you're on the continent now. You've detached yourself from reality. Are you seeing clearer now? What are you expecting here?
I think we'll win both of them. We're a mid-table side now, aren't we? This is, you know what I mean? We're talking about Castleford and Salford. At one time, you know, one stage, we'd be thinking two wins keeps us in the top four, keeps us going in for like, you know, one or two spot. Now we're like, you know, contemplating whether we're going to win them. Chances are we'll probably only win one of them. So I'm going to back out of it and say that we'll lose against Salford.
I think it's bedtime for Dan.
Actually, would we play them in the playoffs if we finished fifth or sixth?
Let's have a look at that. The top three spots, Catalans, Wigan and Saints are fighting for the top spot. But then we've got seven teams jousting for the top next three, fourth, fifth and sixth. The way it lies at the moment, these are the only teams that can mathematically make it there now, I think. In fourth, we've got Lee on 28 points. Fifth, Warrington on 24 points. Sixth, Salford on 24 points. Seventh, Hull KR on 24 points. And then we've got three teams in 8th, 9th and 10th. Leeds, Huddersfield and Hull, all on 20 points. I've put the goal differences there for you boys to have a look at because that could certainly come into play. Lee, I think, are clear, Sam. They'll win at least one of their last four, possibly two. They've got Huddersfield at home, Saints away, Wakefield at home, Wigan at home. From what I can see there, they only really need 2 points with that goal difference and they're fourth, aren't they?
I think you're right. They only need 2 points realistically. What's interesting is whether they can reach the same height since Wembley that they were beforehand. We've seen that before with teams. We've seen it with us way back when we were going to three finals in, well, four finals in 5 years, wasn't it? So, they, having that 4-point gap, they look safe. Strong favourites for fourth.
Yeah.
And they then look to have a home match against whoever finishes fifth, which I'm saying will be us.
Well,
so I think we will play.
We'll finish fifth?
I think we'll finish fifth, and I think we'll be away at Lee Leopards in the playoffs.
So Warrington have got Castleford home, Salford away, Saints home, Huddersfield away. And then the other two teams that are on 24 points, Salford have got Wigan away, Warrington at home, Hull KR away, Catalans at home. And Hull KR have Catalans at home, Huddersfield away, Salford at home and Wakefield away. The one team I can't see encroaching into that top six are Leeds. They look to have a poor run in. They've got Hull away, Wigan at home, Catalans away, Castleford at home. I don't think they'll need four wins, and they're not going to get four wins out of those four games.
And I don't think Salford are guaranteed when they've got Wigan, Hull KR away and Catalans. Hull KR versus Salford is a big game for whoever wins to sneak into the
Catalans
six.
Might be going for the League Leaders' Shield on that last day of the season. So we're going to finish fifth.
We just need to make sure we do the job this Saturday, do it well, not get injured and go on to play Salford away with confidence.
I think we could be a real loose cannon in the playoffs. I think we'll be the side that no one wants to play. We've kind of given up on the season and then rebooted. And in years gone by where we've had stronger teams, I think there's been pressure on us. But I just think what this team has been through this year and the emotions that have flown through everything that's happened, I think we might not give a fuck in the playoffs, and I think we might go very well. I don't think we've got anything to lose. And if Gleeson's got that ball moving across the field well, Chambers has got them all committed to the cause, I think it could be very
close. Whether we can put three games together is another matter, but we can certainly put one performance on, can't we?
And there's an awful lot of optimism here, isn't there? Eh? We've won one game and now it's tipping us to bloody win the bloody grand final. Jesus, I'm delirious.
I just want to get the caveat in now. That's all, I'm just saying. Okay, that's it. So we're just four games of the regular season to go from a man that comes to the fore with his statistics. It's a fortuitous goodbye from Sam.
All the best, guys.
And from an old lad that I've played golf with, and never once have I seen him hit the fairway. It's a four farewell from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
I'm Rob London, forever in your debt, and looking forward to coming back soon. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Very good, sir. Very good.
Schnell.
We never mentioned hello once.